What a perfect sentiment to go into what we're talking about today, which is our youth retreat that we went on, or went a retreat last weekend. And to me, it's like, what an awesome place and time that is to set aside and make room to seek God, to say, God, I just want to be here with you. I want to connect with you. And we do that so well. I'm Jonathan Barrett. If you don't know me, I'm the youth pastor here. Have been so for, this is starting in my eighth year. I've been at the church almost 30 years now. And I came in a way that I came to a church in 95, 96, right in that era, which was very different than the church I grew up in. And I really like the way it says that, like, shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion, because your way is better. And I found that for the first time then. And I found people that saw people that wanted to push them towards Christ. And I saw that in a new way when I came here. And I'm thankful and I'm grateful for our church for that reason, that sees the value of following after Christ wholeheartedly. A lifestyle of just confession, repentance, of coming alongside, of discipleship, and bringing others along. This is a winter retreat. I've been on several, and I used to love going on winter retreat. Until about 8 years ago, when I became responsible for organizing and putting things in place, and it just really changed for me, if I'm being honest. It was just a different take on it. I'm not one who loves responsibility. Not a very responsible person. But God called me into that. And I tell you, this year was kind of the renewal of that in preparation and leading into this. It was just an awesome time that God just kind of restored to me the joy of winter retreats, of that time. Not that I didn't like them in those other times. It's just different. You guys know, when you're in charge of something, it's a totally different animal. But this year was just different in that way. And I thank God for that. I kind of want to go through the who, what, when, where, whys of what winter retreat is. And we say who, we normally think, well, it's the youth and the youth leaders that are suckered enough to go into spend a weekend with kids. But I saw that different this year as we started announcing winter retreat. Before I had the first student sign up to go, before I had the first leader signed up to go, I had scholarships. I had people in the church coming up saying, I would like to help somebody financially go to that. Which showed me the who is not the youth. The who is Eastwood Church. It's everyone. I think we see it as this is a worthy investment to say, I want to grow the knowledge and understanding what the kingdom of God is and pursuing him looks like, and this is worth investing to. So thank you to the church who loved, supported us, prayed for us, gave. That meant a lot, even to me. So the who, the what is a weekend set apart. Our title this year was Gravitate. And we use James 4:8 that I'll get to here in a little bit, which is draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And oftentimes we've got so many things that we're holding on to, we're chasing after, thinking that this is going to give us that sense of security. This is going to give us that sense of independence that come in the way of us really connecting heart to heart with God. And it was just a wonderful time, depending on who you ask. We didn't even have cell service this weekend. We had a couple leaders. I'm not going to call names or throw shade. But it's just, how many guys just kind of wish we could go back to a time without our cell phones or go back to a time without TVs? And I mean, you know, Brad's not here, so not many of you guys would know what it was like before TVs. But I'm throwing shots at him, and he's not even here. He's in California. But just, man, so many things get in the way. So the what is just pressing pause is stepping away from all distractions, saying, I'm going to intentionally seek God. Where? This year we went back to Camp Livingstones, which is in Englewood, Tennessee. It's about an hour north of here. Allison had a chance to go and serve a summer camp this year. It's a wonderful little environment that is secluded. It's back in the middle of nowhere, but it's just a sweet place that we have like one dining hall, like fellowship area where we all gather in together. And then it's like a chapel that the leaders hate climbing the stairs, the treacherous stairs and ice and snow and rain. But it's set aside to me, it's just what an awesome kind of picture it is that we can, you know, fellowship, we can study our Bibles, we can hang out and have fun and eat. But when we go to worship, we're going to go up on the hill and we're going to set this side, like it's just reserved for just this, just for praising God and seeking Him. So that's the where. When was last weekend, but it's also, I love it. We do the same time every year. It's right at the beginning of the year, right after New Year's. What a great way to start out your year to go, man, I'm going to commit my heart to seeking God this year. I'm going to commit to following Him and just a renewal kind of point. I love where that's at on the calendar, and we do that every year at that time. When, where, why do we do it? I think that's the part we're going to kind of share here just as we go through some testimonies. I'm going to show a video, Terry, if you'll hit that, and then we'll call all the students up and leaders. Kind of the format of what we did there was we would have a group teaching, group worship, and then we'd break into our small groups, and each morning we'd get up, we'd have breakfast, and then we'd have an hour set aside of just silence, of open our Bibles, we'd get into our devotions, and we'd spend an hour each morning just seeking to hear from God, and then we'd go from that straight into worship and teaching and small groups, and it's just amazing to me that you can do that with students. And we've got a great bunch of students, but I'm going to let you guys kind of hear from them, their takeaways and their experiences of the week.
Yeah, winter retreat's always a special time because it's always really encouraging to be separated from the world and disconnected from our devices with people who are of similar age, who are just like-minded and seeking the Lord. And something that really stood out to me over the retreat was just the act of servitude. And I just saw God working through not only this group, but the staff at Camp Livingstones. And it was just so encouraging during mealtime seeing a middle schooler taking a leader's plate for them so that they didn't have to get up. And seeing Allison give up her weekend to serve us and the leaders and our band and Isaac Spencer, he spoke, and it was just such an encouraging time. To add on to that, I was a part of just a few guys for really early morning get-together, I guess, a early morning conversation, small group, something like that. And I saw God working through that because most of the men that I was with were the youth leaders up here. And it was so encouraging to be surrounded by just mentors who have picked me up on my path. And Brad was one of the main guys that initiated that. And that was probably my favorite part of the retreat, is just being surrounded by men who have picked me up and helped point me towards Christ. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks. That was Cash Bennett. He's actually in the 11th grade. I know he looks like a leader, but he's a student. And this is Jonah. I know Jonah wants to talk as well. This is Jonah Gibson. It's his senior year.
So I seen God do a lot of great things over this weekend. But one of the biggest things that stood out to me was some of the kids in middle school that we have. And so on Sunday night, we have a time just kind of like this to share what God has done over the weekend. And so I think of Thad, because Thad over there, he was a second person to stand up and share of what boldness does it take to be 12 and stand and share what God has been doing through you in front of 60 people. And I think of Patrick as well, because I walked into the common room one time and I saw him writing notes, and he just had a stack of notes and just little stuff like that of him thinking of other people and building them up. And even the past few months of having Lucy and Kaylee in small groups, and just how strong and passionate they are for Christ. And let's just be praying for them as they grow up in the youth, and that they can continue to grow in that love and boldness for Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, the sentiment's the same in both of these young men, and both of them have benefited greatly from our summer camp woodlands that we go to. Cash was part of the SALT servitude, it was his word, but he was part of the service program there. And Jonah, really this year at winter, at Woodlands, you kind of committed to seeking God by being in the Word daily. And that's been an encouragement. We've got a group meeting that's got all of our students or most of our students on it. And he sends out a Bible verse every morning and says, hey, I'm praying for you guys, or challenges them, hey, would you pray for me in this way? So I love the heart he has that sees the next generation, even as a student. Thad?
Well, when I was at Winter Tree, I didn't know how much the youth cared about me until we played this game and I got out. I couldn't handle my emotions that well. I started to cry and everyone came over and started to like give me hugs and take care of me. And then like, that's God's love. And like, yeah, pretty, that's it.
No, that's it. That has been, he has been bold this year of speaking out. Like when we ask questions, there's an age where the young men especially, they have to learn that you're not supposed to answer a question, right? For some reason, the older they get, the quieter they get. But we thank you for stepping out and being bold in that way. And you're right, God's love was there this weekend. This is Aubrey Knox.
Hi. Before going to Winter Retreat, I had the opportunity to go on a prayer retreat with my school. And it just mainly talked about like prayer and what it means. And one of the speakers said about how even if you're angry at God, even if you have any sort of feelings towards God that aren't like praise, still pray about it, because he'd rather you pray to him, even if you're angry at him, than turn your back from him. So we went into a room later and I started praying and I realized how much anger I was holding in on God. So I basically called out to God and I was like, please reveal yourself to me, because like I haven't been seeing you. And then we came to Winter Retreat, and one of the devotionals, I think it was the second or third one, was 2 Chronicles 15. And it says, the Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. And if you forsake him, he will forsake you. And that's when I realized, you know, I was telling God to reveal himself to me, but I wasn't pursuing him the way that I should have. And that just reminded me that if you pursue God, then he will pursue you. If you draw near to him, then he will draw near to you, which was the whole message of the whole Winter Retreat.
Yeah. I saw your eyes first. You'd be next. This is Miguel.
Is it on? Okay. So basically coming into the Winter Retreat, I was not really in the Word, struggling to seek God and all that. And the message of and the main verse of the whole thing was James 4:8, which is draw near to the Lord and he will draw near to you. And I just want to give praise and thanks to the Lord for the ways he works through people and through others, because I was just struggling to find him and seek him and learn and grow in my faith with him. And just that message of drawing near to him just really opened my eyes of that I'm not going to feel his love or his presence unless I draw near to him.
Yeah. Riley Williams. No, you don't have to. Can you see her? She is standing up, but She's not.
Okay. Well, before going on retreat, I was reading Jonah. And I was reading, like, you know the story, Jonah gets swallowed by a whale and he's there for 3 days. And I was thinking about this winter retreat and I was like, this is gonna be my belly of the whale. For 3 days, I'm gonna go into the belly of the whale. Because winter retreat is not always an exciting time for me. But I just really saw God working in that. Over the course of the weekend, I realized what a blessing it was. All the things I was afraid of, all the things I had been dreading going into it were still there. There were still people and small groups and all the things that are wonderful and terrifying. But what made it good was that God was with me, and I really just noticed that as I was more and more aware of God's presence, like I was more and more joyful. On the third day, when Jonah's in the belly of the whale, thinking that he's going to die in a stupid whale, and it's going to be a terrible end. He offers up a prayer of gratitude to God, and he says, thank you for hearing me, thank you for listening, thank you for saving me, even though he's in the belly of a whale, because the truth is he should have died. He should have been thrown into the water and drowned, but God saved him with the belly of a whale, with a whale. So I see that in the same way, Winter Retreat was a blessing when I thought it was a curse. So I just thank God for revealing his presence to me and revealing joy to me.
Yeah. It's hard for me because I feel like everyone has a good time doing fun things, and we're all different places. We have different personalities. Is there anybody here that's like, you're an introvert, and you'd be like, I wouldn't want to go? Like, and so to me, it's awesome that she steps out in faith like that. And I like when she shared that, like, just looking at the fish as God's provision. Jonah, it starts out, says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And Jonah said, yeah, no, I'm going this way. And that's like not drawing near to God. And, you know, he gets to the point where God's judgment and it starts showing up in the storm. And he knows what it was, my heart. It was my choice to say, you know, I don't want to do what you want me to do. And so he did. He came to terms with it. And he was ready to go into death. And God sent the fish along as his provision. And even there, he's praising God and praying to God. And God gave him a second chance to say, okay. The word of the Lord came to Jonah again. And he said, yes, Lord. So this is Cam.
I'm new to this church, and I realized over this weekend, gravitating to God, he has a plan for everything. And he gravitated me towards this church, and I just want to say I'm thankful for that.
Yeah. And not just you were out wandering around and you just happened to see the church, but he drew you in the way he does through relationships. He's a good friend of Jonah's, and they're on the wrestling team in East Ridge. And he saw something in Jonah, and Jonah saw something in Cam. And Jonah, thankfully, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said, I will. I'll invite him. And then he brought him in, and Cam has been a huge blessing to us as a group. Usually what I have to do is say, okay, one more, and then I have five or six. So, yeah, this is Jacob Horn.
So on the last night, everybody usually shares on Sunday night, and Jonathan said right before it, like right before the last share time, he said, you know how it can be whenever you feel like you should share something, but you don't, and then you read it later. Well, that's pretty much exactly what happened. So the thing that was really on my mind was just we go as leaders, and I've been going to Winter Retreat for about 15 years, something like that, and I've been a leader longer than I was a student, and I go every year kind of in this spot of like, oh man, I'm ready to be a leader, you know, I'm ready for God to use me, and I feel like in a lot of ways I go in kind of with a cocky attitude, not trying to be like I'm the best or anything like that, but thinking that God's for sure going to use me, and something that I've been thinking about really since afterwards as well is just how much God uses these kids to speak into us as well. You know, we go as leaders, but I think these kids are leaders just as much as we are in a lot of ways. And seeing them share and seeing how much God, they were gravitating towards God the entire weekend was extremely encouraging. You know, one of my favorite things was I think it was Caden Williams. She was in my small group, and we asked the first question after, I think, the second lesson, which was the Saturday morning, and they were like, well, what'd you think about that lesson? And Caden, the first thing she said was, for a long time, I never really was able to get around gravitating to God and what that meant. I always thought of it kind of abstract, but the way the lesson was taught to me, man, I'm so excited because I feel like I now have, you know, the kind of the rubric of how to understand it. It makes me really excited to be able to go home and be able to use that. So I think that speaks to, you know, what Jonathan and Isaac did, and as well as just how much these kids are paying attention, because there was tons of that all weekend. So
yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Our four sessions, we started out Friday night with, we naturally gravitate towards sin. We naturally gravitate to life separated from God, doing our own way, doing our own things, the things of the world. And that's human nature. Next morning, we talked about how God draws us in. God called us. He made the first move. He took the first step. He sent Jesus as that love offering for us to know him. And then the third lesson we did was how do we draw near to God, the practicals of that. And then the fourth was we draw others in. That's kind of a mission, is to go and be light and salt to the world. So you're looking at me like you're looking. Were you just looking at me because I was talking?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here.
That's okay.
This is my wife, Monica.
So this was actually my 10-year anniversary of Winter Retreat. I've been on 11 retreats now. And what really, you know, something that really struck me, we have, you know, a leaders meeting a couple of times a day to talk about what's going on. And I hope I don't really want to steal Brad's thunder by telling his
Brad's
story.
Brad's in California.
Cool. I'm going to steal Brad's story. No, Brad made a comment about having a conversation with a senior in high school and who's going on, and he's, you know, making big life decisions, and he's like, is he ready? Like, have we done everything we can do as leaders to prepare him? He's going out into the world, and the world is hard, and you know, something that just, I kind of looked around the room, and I was like, you know, I started doing this 10 years ago, and Jacob and Isaac had just graduated high school, and here I am, you know, 11 winter retreats later, and Isaac's, you know, preaching, and Jacob, I don't think he's missed a winter retreat. And then I started looking around the room and counting. There were more students from my brief tenure, there were more students showed up as leaders than, well, what I would call adults, which, so, I mean, I probably started when I was 32. I guess Jacob's pushing that now, or close enough. So he's not a kid, but I was like, man, God really is. Like, God is preserving his remnant. Like, I just love to see how God works through the generations. And I'm just really encouraged, you know, now that I'm old and, you know, not as old as Brad, but, you know, like, now that I'm creeping up toward that end, like, I look down and I'm like, well, praise the Lord. There's more of them than there are of us now. So we know that they're in good hands and God's work will continue.
Yeah, awesome. The good news is Brad doesn't listen to the sermons ever, so he will not listen back. All right. Anyone else want to? You're looking at me.
So I am one of those students that Monica's talking about that is now a leader. I think her first winter retreat was my first. Was it? Yeah, probably. And I never really thought that I would be in this situation. And I think I've learned more from your kids than I would have if I wasn't here. And I really love the theme of just gravitating to God and really what that means. Because I think for so long in my life, I knew the concept. I think I, to a level, understood what it meant. And I just kind of refused to take those steps when I was younger. And I think this is something that not only these kids at this age need to hear, but I think it's something that we always need to hear. Of how it's crazy what God will do on our lives if we just stop and we listen to him. If we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And I mean, that was the theme verse for us, but I think it's something that's so true. And I mean, obviously, that's why it's in scripture. And that's something that not only I think I am getting better at understanding, but that the kids in my small group, I know they know it. And I know they understand it. Like, I had Kanan Hughes, he's in my small group on Wednesday night, but he was also in mine at winter retreat. And one thing he said of the second he started drawing near to God, God gave him peace. And that's the only way that you can ever get peace. And that was just so profound. I mean, that's something that I knew, but it's not something that I think I let God show me. And so, yeah, I'm really grateful that I was able to be here. I'm grateful that God has put me in this position to lead, even though I'm not the best at it. I'm still pretty new. But God is working through everyone here. And I think that was just so awesome to see.
Awesome. Thanks, Asa. We had one illustration where we went to small groups and we were all given magnets. to talk about that gravitating force. And anytime you have magnets, and nobody likes to just stick them together and be done with it, right? You always flip them around, and it's that polar opposite, that polarity that just makes them interesting. And that's almost where we're at. And that's not almost, that's exactly where we're at in our sin and our sin nature, is that as we draw near to God in the wrong way, it's harming. It's judgment, and it's repulsive, and it's just, the rejection of, but it's that turning over, it's that confession, that repentance of agreeing and lining up with God, that the natural reaction is just drawing, connecting. It's not that God finds us. God's always there. And we either choose to, you know, hold him away, as Romans tells us. We reject the truth of him, and we're in opposition and going our own way. Or we come to him in humility and just say, God, you know these things, and I agree with you, and I receive the gift you've given me of a new life and a new heart, and that only comes through Jesus Christ. And Terry, if you'll hit that next slide, that our scripture verse, as we've said again and again, is James 4:8. It says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. But then there is a practical part that we have to do, is that cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And Isaac was teaching, this was Saturday night, he was teaching this lesson. And just the way he said, guys, our hands, that cleanse your hands, that washing of your hands is the things you do. There's things we have in our lives that we can't be drawn near to God, that he's going to be like, oh yeah, bring that along. There's things we have to get rid of. There's choices we have to make. There's things we have to set aside. But then our hearts, Isaac said so well, he said in scripture, when it comes to talking about hearts, it's talking about like the point from where all things flow. Like if you're talking about a river, like its source, where it came from, where it started from. So that out of your heart, I can't change my heart, but God can. I love the in Ezekiel where his plan is to take that, cut out that heart of stone in you and give you a heart of flesh that desires the things he desires. And that's really the action that Jesus came to start that process of, we receive through faith what he did for us. And we see those things. And as we come to him and we repent and come towards him, and he's going to reveal those things that we need to cut out of our lives and push aside. But he's the one responsible for giving us the heart of flesh that loves him and seeks him and wants to praise him. So, Tim, are you around? Do you want to share? Sure. And then Tim.
So this winter retreat, God really convicted me over just my friendships. So, you know, I'm homeschooled, so it's really easy to kind of fall into the, oh, you're homeschooled, you know, you don't got no friends, like, you don't go to high school, you know, there's no extracurriculars. So, like, it's really easy to fall into the loneliness of being homeschooled. So I was really struggling with that before winter retreat. And then this winter retreat, God really just showed me just the family that, you know, he's provided for me. And, you know, I look around and I'm like, oh, these are my brothers and sisters, you know. And it's not them that's that. It's not like, you know, they're great jokes or they're awesome personalities. You know, it's God in them that's making them, you know, just that amazing people that's around, that's amazing to be around. So it's been really cool to just see how God showed me this weekend, just how amazing his family is. So.
Yeah. Thanks, Madeline. I'm going to let Tim, Brad shared, like as Monica said, let me hold that for me. Brad shared that thought and that sentiment of like, are we preparing our students? Are they ready to go out? And Brad, just awesome dude. He's the senior of the trip, as you've heard us poke at him. But man, he just goes and gives of himself joyfully to serve, and just he pours into Asa for their Wednesday night group, seeing that Asa is going to be the one that carries on that light. And then Asa's pouring into those students, realizing they're going to be the ones carrying on that light. But Tim spoke up in our leaders' meeting and said, that makes me think of this verse, and I'm going to have asked him to read it to you guys as we close here. And you can share any thought you have there. Tim loves speaking.
Yeah, you know what? all laughing because I know all of this. As leaders, we really thank you for trusting us with your students, with your kids. We know this is the most valuable thing that you have. And trusting us with their spiritual growth, that's huge. And we don't take it lightly. And we thank you for letting us serve. I'm gonna mess with my really good friend, Mr. Les, because Sunday night, we were trying to get the kids in bed, our middle school guys, and I know they get razzed quite a bit, but man, I love those guys. But you know how, well, I know I was that way, but trying to get them in bed, and Mr. Les is giving them the orders to get them in bed, and I'm like, you know, mean old Mr. Les, you know, is trying to get y'all in bed, but I say that with all the love that I have for him. Of course, Jonathan picked up on the Grinch soundtrack and was, you're a mean one, Mr. Les. So, you know. Anyway. But yeah, I guess get back to where, I mean, I do, I love Brad and his thoughts of, you know, are these kids ready? You know, we're sending them out year after year. Like Monica was saying, but I was thinking the same thing. You looked at the band and almost everyone in the band came up through our youth. Our youth pastor came up through our youth. You know, there's something about the way things are done here. The scripture I'm going to read to you is Paul talking to the Corinthians, and he is saying, you know, we don't need letters of commendation from somebody. We don't need a recommendation, because what we're telling you is the truth. But that is the letter that Paul is referring to. Let me just read you these scripture out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, because this is what we want for our students. This is what we want for each one of you. You know, this is what we want for any believer to have this. Because rather than having that letter of recommendation from somebody that's a huckster, Paul is saying to the Corinthians, and you know, we say to our students, you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of human hearts.
So we rejoice. We thank you guys. We thank the rest of the church for supporting us and allowing this to take place each year. And we just wanted to give you an example and give you some examples of what we experienced and how grateful we are to God and how grateful we are for you guys to serving God and praying for us, supporting us in that way. So I'm going to let you guys go back to your seats there, and I'm going to let Bill take the microphone, and we're going to close in a response as the church, as the body.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. As they're stepping back, you know, I just think about what we try to emphasize, and I'm just going to say it one more time. We emphasize this all the time. Jesus Christ did not die so that you could go to heaven instead of hell. That's a benefit. You were dead in your sins, and that meant you were dead in your relationship with God. You did not have a relationship with God. And Jesus Christ died to reconcile us to God. He didn't die so that we could change geography after we passed away. He changed so that we could be united spiritually with the invisible God who created us right now through eternity in a growing relationship where we understood and knew him and grew to love him more and more and more until we saw him face to face. And I don't know what it'll be like in heaven, but I believe we will continue to grow in our love for God because we're going to live in heaven. We're not going to be on a cloud floating around with a song that we sing on a harp. We will be alive in Christ. And what I see our kids learning, and what I see our adults learning, what I see our youth leaders even say in their learning, is that they are growing in their relationship with God. And they're knowing Him better, they're loving Him more, and every day is a new day, and His mercies are bigger and stronger and better. And that's what Christianity is about. And I'm just grateful to see that. When we were talking before we came in here in the green room about what our first winter retreat was like and our first sharing was like. And compared to what it is today, you know, when we started, we got those four fundamentals. You belong in God's family is the first one. And when we started off with the youth, that's what we emphasized, is that God loves you. God wants to be, he wants you in His family. And if you're going to serve Him, the first thing you got to understand is that's the first thing you got to communicate. Because if people don't believe that they're loved, if they don't believe that they're wanted, if they don't believe that people and God is interested in helping them find their destiny and find what life has for them, they're not gonna want to be threatened by you pointing out or God pointing out all their faults and everywhere they fall short. It's in the safety of love that people can be honest with God about where they're at. And we had those things. Some of you in this room were in some of those Sunday night meetings that we had where we came and we shared, and it used to be for years, a couple of years in there, people would just say, oh, I can't wait till Sunday night because it's so emotional. You know, we'll be in there and we just realize that God loves us and people here love us and this is so different than everywhere else I am. And they would cry and people couldn't wait to come for the emotion to come and crying to come. And that was really good because that's the foundation of being able to be honest with yourself, honest with God, allow other people to talk to you like we as Christians should, sharpening iron, sharpening each other. And to watch us come to that point where we realize we got to take the next step, and as leaders trying to move that off of what God has done for me to what God does God want to do in me. And then to watch and see right in here, you know, there's still emotion and gratefulness to God, but it's not emotion about myself. It's about the realization of what God wants and where I can go. That's where we want. That's what we want. That is God working in individual hearts. And that didn't happen by anything that anybody told them. There was no leader that can communicate that. That comes because kids realize, adults realize that Christ died for me to know God, and if I'll draw near to Him, He changes everything. And that's what's important. Not the fact that I'm just loved, but the fact that what love really does, it redeems me. And that's what we're grateful for. And so we're going to just stop right now, and we're going to stand, and we're going to just sing with gratefulness in our hearts like Alan started with, and we're just going to sing and ask God to draw us closer to Him, because He is all we need and all we want. So if you'll stand with me, let's sing in our hearts to God.